I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on DJs of the Crime
Podcast.
How y'all doing?
Yeah. Okay. So Ashley's officially back in school.
Yeah. I sure am.
Yeah. And I'm already sending out progress reports.
Yeah, that's bizarre. I mean, I'm about to, you know, literally be like, hello, here are the expectations. And you just like, here's your grades. And I'm like, oh, crap. That's crazy to me. That is real crazy to me. 100%.
I'm already having parent conferences.
Oh, that makes me want to throw up.
Yes. I literally had the first parent. Like, okay. Y'all. Okay, I've already had a kid try me. Already had it.
No.
They took their first test. This child made a 95 on their test. That's good, right?
Talented and gifted, 100%.
Exactly. 95. So I pass out the test and I see them erase on their test. I'm watching them from across the room.
Oh no.
I see it. And they raise their hand and they go, I got this right and you marked it wrong. You need to come fix this.
Oh no, baby.
I said, I literally just watched you erase something on your paper. I was like, you just changed your answer. I know you did. I'm not coming to fix it. No, I was adding an apostrophe to my name.
Is there really an apostrophe in their name?
But they spell their name with the apostrophe every single time. Like they never don't forget their apostrophe. And I went over there and I looked at the paper and you can see the erase marks.
I'm crying.
So I literally just dropped the paper back on the kid's desk and was like, nope. And so I went to my computer and clackety clack click. I messaged mom or whoever I messaged. I don't even know whoever was in the system. But documented it. And I was like, I hope we can do better. But we probably need to have a chat.
Yeah. 100%.
So gaslighting on the bucket list. Check.
Wow. They ain't waste no time. Not them. There was probably still eraser shavings on the paper and everything. Didn't even dust it off. Like, come on now. If you're going to play.
They're not even good at cheating.
Like, if you're going to play, play correct, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're going to play correct.
I was like, you saw me looking at you.
Looking at me, looking at you, looking at each other.
I was like, what
did you think?
Like, but you made a 95. Like, you didn't even do bad.
You know, and this is what I worry because Skylar, like, she is a perfectionist. Like, if she don't get something right the first time, she's like, like she freaks out. And I worry about this for her because I'm just like, bro, all I need you to do is do your best. Mm-hmm. If your best is a 75, then your best is a 75. Rock out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But child, I don't know how to break her out of that. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. I keep telling her, like, it's fine. No, it's fine. She's like, no, it's not right. And I'm like, oh, girl.
It's fine. Okay. It's all right.
It's all right, sister girl.
And you have to love, like, that, you know, that's the part of the brain that she thinks with. But at the same time, like, is she going to want that 100 so bad? Like, she does something like this. You know what I mean? I can see. I mean, this kid was just being a butthead, but whatever. Mm-hmm. You know? So I can definitely see that as long as she's doing her best, but she's going to always strive for like top tier.
100%. That's my girl.
So,
That's my girl.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear your stories, Ashley, when you get in the groove and hear how things are going.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be good.
I think so.
Why this one is so nervous, like nerve-wracking. Like my nerves are shot. Like, I don't know why. Like, this is my ninth time doing this.
But it's a new school and you have no footing yet.
Yeah.
And you don't know your kids.
Yeah.
You are starting with a new co-teacher. Like, that's mm-hmm. always nerve-wracking to me. Like, somebody's going to be in my room.
Mm-hmm.
When I had co-teaching for the first, I was like, they're going to be judging me. I thought, like, they're going to try to overstep.
Yeah.
And it just meshed beautifully. And I know it doesn't always do that. You know, we had one of our co-teachers last year ended up getting, like, fired. I don't know if she got fired. I can't remember. I think she quit, but then she had to, like, be escorted off the premise.
Oh.
She had gotten so... And this teacher that she was co-teaching with is fabulous. She's still there this year. Mm-hmm. But she was just being a straight-up adult bully. And so the regular classroom teacher was documenting everything, and our admin was super supportive. And every time, like, she added something to the document, she sent it to the principal. And, like, you know, he was like, you're doing all the right things. You're documenting, you're documenting, you're documenting.
Mm-hmm.
And the co-teacher, like, ended up, like, slamming her foot in the door. And that's considered, you know, like, she kind of got violent and walked out and had to be escorted off.
Oh.
So I do know that sometimes they don't mesh, but then sometimes they mesh beautifully.
Yeah. And I also think that because... like, I worked there for the summer and I had, like, glowing reviews coming in. So I kind of feel like people expect me to be like, granted, I'm great at what I do. Like, I'm not going to fault that. But I feel like everybody's been just like, oh my gosh, you're so positive and da-da-da-da. And, like, in all reality, I'm not always like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not always that cheery and I'm not always, you know, a positive person. Sometimes I could be negative, but I just worry I won't live up to their expectations that they already have of me. You feel me? Like,
but you could be, you could, you know, this could be the environment though for you that you don't even realize that does make you that cheery person that wants to go to work every day. It could.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Like, I don't know. Just my,
because,
like,
your environment can dictate a lot of that.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And now that I'm speaking about work, shout out to, like, all my listeners from work, because I was looking at our analytics just before we started recording and our numbers for where I live are just, like, boosting, because at my staff meeting last week, we had to share, like, something no one knew. And I was like, well, I have a podcast, Teachers Talk Crime, find it everywhere. You know, if you like teachers and you like crime, go ahead and give us a listen. And our numbers have listened. I've had our instructional coach follow us on Instagram. My assistant principal came up to me the other day and was like, listen to your podcast. It's, like, so professional and great. And I was like, thank you so much. And now I'm just like, oh my gosh, y'all really listening to my podcast. It's crazy.
So shout out to Ashley School.
I love that. Yeah. Well, it's cool.
I'm going to do a humble brag when I go and present in November. I'm presenting at a conference.
A conference?
Yeah, I got asked to go present.
A conference?
Yeah, it's like a 2-day thing.
That's like a big deal. Is it, like, in Alabama?
Yeah, it's in Alabama. It's for Alabama math and science teachers.
Like, all of them?
Well, I mean, you can, any, yeah. Well, any of them can go.
That's and a big deal.
I know, and I had the choice between a 45-minute slot or a 75-minute slot. And the guy, I was like, well, obviously I want 45 minutes. Like, I can't present in front of adults. And he was like, absolutely not. I'm putting you down for 75 minutes. You can't get anything done in 45 minutes. I'm like, what am I going to do for 75 minutes? You know what the title of it is?
What is it? Teachers of Talk Crap. Not playing.
It's called, the title of my presentation is A Little About a Lot.
Okay.
Because that's, I know, really, a little about a lot.
That's clever. I really liked it.
And, like, I'm going to talk about learning targets, formative assessments, small groups, the difference between small groups and intervention, how I do them, how they're effective, AI, where I use AI, how you can use AI to fight teacher burnout, how to write formative assessments, how to write learning targets. So it's just, like, a little about a lot.
Nah, that sounds, yeah, definitely get that 75 minutes, bro.
I don't know if I'm going to have that much to say.
I mean, then you could give people time to research. You can
play with AI.
And play with, you know, all the gadgets and gizmos that you present in front of them. And also, you can do, like, those, like, turn-in talks and get up and move and get people to, like, you know, collaborate. Because I know for me, sitting the whole time and just taking in information, I need to do some type of movement. I need to, even if I'm like, oh, I can't believe I have to turn and talk to this person. Like, even after a second, I'm like, oh, this is nice. This is a nice little break from, you know what I mean? So throw some things like that, you know, I don't know how many people going to be there, but maybe bring some candy or whatever. And like give candy to people who participate because teachers love food.
They're going to come in. Like, so I do random seating every single day in my class. So like every single day, a kid gets a different number and they sit in wherever that number is. Yeah. And so like they're never, and the whole purpose is like, you're going to work with people in life that you don't typically work with.
100%.
And one, you're not going to sit in assigned seats because I want you to branch out and explore different people and get to know different classmates. So when the adults, I'm going to do the same thing when they walk in, we're going to have like the tables labeled and I'm just going to be like, you're a one, you're a two, you're a three, and like randomize it like that. And then go over like, that's how my kids come in every single day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've really started to enjoy it. And they, you know, are learning to talk and work with people that they would not normally pick in their group.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah, that's going to be a good time. That's going to be a good time. That's a really great accomplishment. Add that to your resume, girl.
But I'm also going to do a little humble brag and be like, I have a podcast called Teachers Talk Crime.
You better throw that in there. Like, if you have a slide, like, all about me, definitely have a picture of the logo or something, girl.
100%.
Maybe even go with some merch on,
I'm
girl.
About to say. And by now, you guys have probably seen the new drops.
So freaking cute. Oh, my gosh. Cute.
Y'all let us know which one you want. Which one are you going to get? Are you going to get both of them? I think you should get both of them.
I want both of them. I also have my vision about my long sleeve and tie-dye color.
Yes. Like, Mary's going to have to make that special for you.
Like, I will literally go and find a tie-dye shirt and send it to her and be like, hey, this is what I want. Just please send it back to me.
Yep. Yep.
Because I will wear that every day. Well, not every day because I got to go to work and I can't really walk around with a shirt that says, you know, murder on it.
Murder on it.
I'm teaching the youth of America, but yeah, I'm going to wear it in the house. Sure am. Out to the grocery store, everywhere. Because when people see that, because I know when I sent the thing to get the design back, I know they're probably like, what the heck is sit down, shut up, the murder is about to begin. Like, do I have to flag this person? Like, I almost wanted to preface it by being like, hey, I have a podcast and this is our slogan. But I was like, screw it, I'm just going to go balls to the wall. So if one of these days, you know, the FBI knocks down my door. You know what it was for.
Walking into a public entity and then being like, she has murder on her shirt.
Yeah.
Just, she needs to leave.
You need to leave.
I'm getting the manager. Okay.
Okay. Well, I think those are all the things that
those
we had
are
to say.
All the things.
Yeah, those are all the things.
You want to jump into the
Estudiante yesterday.
Okay, so I have the star student, and it was from an email that we got.
Okay.
So like we've said, if you're a Spotify listener, unfortunately Spotify doesn't give you the handy dandy review feature.
They sure don't.
So if you want to, you can DM us a review or you can email us a review. This person they emailed us a teacher story.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, they said, okay, well, I listen on Spotify, so here's my review. So our star student this week is from Emily.
Hey, Emily.
And it is 5 stars because, you know, she sent it in. And Emily says, I have to email my review because I have Spotify. Yes, we know. But I have been listening to your podcast from the very beginning. And can I just say that y'all ladies make my day? I listen to you on my way to work, on my way home, and on the way to my second job. I tell everyone at my school to listen to you. I love to listen to your insights about the cases and students while getting a good laugh. You two are so relatable, and it really feels like you two are in the car with me. You are also such amazing people who I know are busy AF with school and to do this podcast. Wow. Keep up the fantastic work inside and outside of the classroom and keep those cases coming.
Emily.
She thinks we're amazing people.
She knows we be busy, but we still be here.
We are.
We appreciate you, Emily. Thank you so much. And before, let me actually do it because I almost just finished it, but I have to give you the real thing. So, Emily, thank you so much for your review. This gold starts for you. Bing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, this is going to wrap up Ashley's case. So we're going to be entering into part three.
Numero tres.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Sit down. Shut up. Part three of the murder is about to begin.
Ahora. So as Brooke previously said, we are back with the third and final part of the Craig Mulligan case. So if you haven't listened to part one or two, I highly suggest you stop listening to this episode right now and go listen to the first parts because it's a lot of information and I would just hate for you to be lost in the sauce. For those of you that have listened to part one and part two, welcome back.
Yes. And we do just want to say we have learned our lesson on the two-part episodes. And we will make sure that they are back to back now. So now you
sure will.
You know, you had a little gap between episode, part one and part two, but now part two and part three are back to back. So we have learned and we have corrected our mistake.
We have, because, you know, we take constructive criticism. Really new over here.
We really do.
Mm-hmm. And also shout out to the people who've just been like, you guys are so great. Like, even with all our posts about like, audio issues releasing the episodes not back to back. Like, y'all really the goat. So thank you. So let's quickly recap what was discussed in part two. When police first arrived at the home in response to the 999 call, they discovered disturbing details. Logan's bed sheets were in the running dryer, which had been washed and dried, presumably to hide evidence of the crime. Angharad's initial reaction to Logan's death was extreme, including crying hysterically and experiencing a seizure that caused her to collapse. John was present during this time but remained silent, assisting Angharad once she fell. In contrast, Craig, despite everything happening around him, seemed entirely unfazed, even playing a video game and making insensitive remarks during gameplay. At the hospital, Angharad exhibited odd behavior, expressing regret that she hadn't taught Logan how to swim. She appeared to be performing and giving attention to Logan's body, but only when the nurses were watching, including kissing him on the forehead in a theatrical manner. Claire Williamson, Logan's grandmother and Angharad's mother, visited the hospital and observed the unusual behavior from Angharad as well. She observed him constantly tucking Logan in with blankets and discussing his funeral. During interviews with the police, Angharad made self-incriminating statements, suggesting that she couldn't keep Logan safe and shifting blame onto others. However, detectives noted that her emotional displays seemed exaggerated, with little to no tears. Benjamin, Logan's father, received the devastating news while at work and was utterly distraught, immediately leaving his job. Witnesses observed Angharad, John, and Craig's peculiar conduct following Logan's death. Claire, Angharad's mother, heard Angharad implying that they might get arrested because Logan died while in their care. She also noted Craig acting strangely. Jody Simmons and Daniel O'Brien, who visited Angharad, were shocked when she mentioned missing punishing Logan. Craig's behavior continued to be disturbing, appearing celebratory and confrontational. John confided in his friend, Darren Casely, initially giving the impression that he was upset about Logan's death. However, lie detector tests later revealed he was referring to Craig when he mentioned bringing him up since he was a baby. John's demeanor upon his arrest was subdued and accepting his fate. During her interviews with the police, Angharad initially downplayed her involvement, but later admitted that John and Craig had assaulted Logan 2 days before his death. She cited fear of John as the reason for her silence and claimed he had threatened her life. John told police that he found Logan dead in an unusual position and tried unsuccessfully to perform CPR. He denied hitting Logan in the stomach, but he and Angharad had grabbed and smacked him out of frustration previously. Craig, in his police interview, denied any involvement in Logan's death and claimed he accompanied John to dispose trash, despite the suspicious timing. He later mentioned trying to enter Logan's room that night, but suggested that he thought it was a dream. His statements were inconsistent, and he expressed resentment towards his mother, who he believed was blaming him and John unjustly.
Well, yeah. Let me tell you, Angharad really fooled me.
Yeah.
She gave quite the performance. she on the 911 call. Mm-hmm. And it says a lot when your own mother says you are being funny and mm-hmm. weird.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even her own mom was like, something's up.
Yeah, like, she a little off.
And also, remember, John Cole, he threw up. Didn't he throw up?
Oh, he was just like, what's the word? Like heaving?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't throw up, but he was just like giving the impression that he was going to.
And then you got this psycho kid over here that's making no emotions sense. Whatsoever.
None. Absolutely none.
Yeah.
Now that you've gotten a little refresher, let's jump into the third and final part of this case. There was so much concrete evidence in this case. Logan's Paw Patrol pillow, duvet, and mattress protector were all taken from his bedroom, and small bloodstain patches were found on them. When later tested, DNA of the bloodstains were a match to Logan. On August 4th, police searched a wooded area near Pandy Park. Logan's multicolored dinosaur pajama top was located, and it was ripped into three pieces. According to John, it was Ang Harrod that told him to discard of the shirt. So this is why, when I mentioned in part two that Craig and John left the house a second time, mm-hmm. they left to dispose of the top. And if you remember in part one, Logan was found in a Spider-Man pajama top with a multicolored dinosaur pajama bottom. So these monsters had destroyed the shirt that he was most likely wearing at the time of his death, took it off of him, then put him in a new top before disposing of mm-hmm. his body.
Yep.
Like,
so the what brutality. Are you doing? Remember, he was also had injuries that mimicked that of being hit by a car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Yeah, that's brutal for absolutely no reason. Now for the cellular evidence. On the night that Logan's body was dumped, Ang Harrod claimed that she was asleep when everything was going down. However, her Android data told a different story. Apparently, she watched YouTube videos, Dr. Pimple Popper, makeup tutorials, BMWs, conjoined twins, and the list goes on. Also, prior to July 30th, she was watching the following YouTube videos. Kidnapped 4-year-old Rebecca Lewis reunited with family. Family speaks after Utah babysitter is sentenced to prison for shaking baby. Missing toddler just clung to me. Like, my question was she researching, like, yeah. how parents reacted in situations like this so she could mimic it? Like, is this why she was so over the top?
Or was she getting ideas about, like, how different scenarios? Was she, like, playing with different scenarios of how they could make this work?
I don't know. I took it as she was, like, figuring out how to react if something like that to
as, like,
happen
a traumatic parent. As, like, a yes. traumatized parent.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Hmm.
Yeah. After his body was discovered, she Google searched and read articles pertaining to Logan. So, like, she's doing all of these things.
She's being weird.
Yeah, 100%.
Also, like, you watched Dr. Pimple Popper the night your son died?
Yep, sure did. And BMWs and makeup tutorials and, yeah.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mother of the year.
Uh-huh.
In prison, another inmate named Joanne Brooks noticed that Ang Harrod was acting strangely while they both worked on a cleaning team. Apparently, she now went by the name Angie and told Joanne about her notoriety related to Logan's murder. She openly disclosed that she was his mother and even showed pictures of Logan to inmates. Ang Harrod gave different explanations about how Logan got hurt and attended the funeral, but told conflicting stories. Like, so for example, she told one inmate that she went to his funeral and then told another inmate that she didn't go to his funeral. So, like, why are your things so inconsistent?
Yeah. Why are you lying in prison? Why, you either went or you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You either know what happened to him or you don't.
Yep. Like, and how do you, like, misconstrue going to his funeral?
That's something you don't mistake in.
That's like, I forgot I didn't go. Like, that's very suspect.
I dreamed it. No, you didn't.
That's very suspect. I do not like that. She believed that the lights would prove her innocence. After being charged with murder, Ang Harrod asked for support from her fellow inmates, insisting that she didn't harm Logan. Later on that evening, she was seen laughing while watching TV and enjoying snacks in her cell.
Probably Dr. Pimple Popper.
You know, she was watching some love show. I can't remember exactly the name of it, but like some Something crazy. Something Australian.
Trash television.
Yeah, 100%. After being arrested and placed in care, Craig made inappropriate and disturbing comments, which I am not surprised at all.
No.
One thing that he said goes as follows. I love kids. I effing love kids. I love to punch kids in the head. It's orgasmic.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Red flag, red flag, mm-hmm. red flag.
He hinted at wrongdoing without elaborating further and even threatened harm to kids. According to one source, Craig told one of the care workers the following. If you knew what was going on in my head, trust me, you don't want to know. He would later go on and say, I ain't letting my dad take the blame. No way. I might just plead guilty next week. My solicitor knows all about my mental state and I forget stuff.
That sounds like an admission of guilt, but with a little not admission of guilt.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. What?
Here's the thing. Like, I'm not letting my dad go down. Here's the thing. Y'all literally, quote unquote, you said you were taking out the trash with him at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. No. You knew exactly what you were doing. And mm-hmm. you're not going to, quote unquote, let your dad take the fall when you were clearly involved.
Mm-hmm. But also what I got from that too, is that like, the mention of the mental state makes me think that he's already like planning on using mm-hmm. insanity.
100%.
Uh-huh.
And boy, you not insane. You just a little unwell.
Mm-hmm.
What's that song? I'm not crazy. I'm just a little unwell. You was unwell, sir. Unwell.
You're evil, it sounds like. Yeah. I mean, you literally threatened a good family. You went into a movie theater and said, kill all the Jews.
Yep.
You took a baseball bat to a park and started beating things with it. Yep. Like, mm-hmm. what?
Yup. You just not correct, sir. It's not okay. The trial began in Cardiff Crown Court on February 21st, 2022, with the prosecutor alleging that Logan was murdered and Angharad, John, and Craig had a role in his death. The prosecution claimed that the defendants not only killed Logan, but also tried to cover up the circumstances of his death, prioritizing their self-preservation over Logan's needs.
100%.
After 2 months of evidence, on April 21st, 2022, John, Angharad, and Craig were found guilty of Logan's murder. In typical Angharad fashion, after the verdicts were read, she gasped and collapsed to the floor and shouted, no, 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 no. At the end of
yes,
the hearing.
Yes, yes, yes.
A period.
Girl,
yes,
your theatrics are over. They are over. You did not win the award. The Academy Award does not go to you.
She did not.
You tried.
She wasn't
really
even a
tried.
Nominee, honestly.
Yeah. She tried. She tried real hard.
Real hard and failed. Real hard. Mm-hmm. At the end of the hearing, she shouted the following at John. You lying mother effer. Murderer. You lying murderer.
I thought he was your Prince Charming and y'all were perfect. Right. And he was the love of your life.
I know that's right. But uh-uh. He's a mother effer.
Mm. And a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
You knew what he did.
You sure did.
And you probably could have saved yourself had you thrown somebody under
100%.
The bus.
100%. John and Craig, on the other hand, were emotionless when the verdict was delivered, which I'm not surprised.
No shocker there.
Not surprised. Benjamin, Logan's father, stated the following after the trial concluded. Logan was the sweetest and most beautiful boy whose life has been tragically cut short. The world is a colder and darker place without his warm smile and the happy energy with which he lived his life. The hole that has been left in the hearts of all who knew and loved him will never be filled. No amount of time can heal the wounds that have been inflicted. The wonderful memories I have of my son will never be tarnished. They will forever be in my heart and soul. I loved him so much, and somehow I have to live my life knowing that I will never get to see him grow up to be the wonderful man he would have been. I would like to thank South Wales Police and the prosecution team who have worked tirelessly to bring those responsible for my son's murder to court. From all of us, thank you for doing an amazing job and for getting justice for my son. Stop.
That was very well said. Like, you know, he's saying that through like so much heartbreak and it's justice, but it'll never bring him back.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And I'm so glad that all three of them got charged and convicted, because Yeah, Herod.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She definitely could have struck up a plea deal. Now, granted, this is England. I don't really know how it all works there.
Mm-hmm.
But I know here in the US, like you can throw somebody under the bus and get a plea deal, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure she had that opportunity for whatever reason. She probably did not take it. And I'm really glad that she didn't, because I do feel like they all deserve equal punishment in their role in his death.
Yeah, I 100% agree. A group of approximately 50 people gathered near a bridge at Lower Langsenfried, and over 100 teddy bears were placed there to remember Logan.
Oh,
I know. A woman by the name of Lisa, who lived just a street behind where Logan lived, stated the following. I followed the case and wanted to pay my respects to little Logan to wish him on his way. I have lived in Sarn all my life. It's a very tight-knit community. The community has really pulled together. There are lots of children in Sarn. It's affected them in a big way. I think the verdict was well-deserved. I would like to see them all sentenced for life, and life should mean life. I'd like to say R.I.P. Logan, and he's forever in our heart.
I really liked that she said, and life should mean life, because how many times do we see it?
Oh, 1,000,001.
Yes. I'm just like, life, if it's not going to be life, why do we call it life?
Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Part-time life.
Like, no, if it's life, it's forever.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But that was very sweet of her.
It was. Sentences were delivered on June 30th, 2022. Angharad was sentenced to life in prison with a minimum of 28 years. John was also sentenced to life in prison, but with a minimum of 29 years. Craig was also sentenced to life in a young offenders institute, but with a minimum of 15 years.
So they have where you can't even think a blink or speak of parole until you hit that minimum.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, why give them life if they got the chance to get out? I mean, here's the thing. I think we were talking about this before, but like, I understand Craig is a young man. Is there a possibility he can be reformed? 100%. Was his part in this murder very violent and crazy? 100%. And nobody's trying to say like, oh, like he doesn't deserve the sentence he got. No, he deserved that.
Mm-hmm.
He deserved that. You did a very adult thing at a very young age, sir. Mm-hmm. You need to serve that minimum of 15 years. But you do have a chance to turn around your life. I don't know if you're about that life, but I hope you do better.
But 15 years, he still, you know, he would...
He was 14, maybe?
Yeah, he wouldn't even be old. Like, he would still have so much life to live. He could still get a driver's license, a job, a marry, have kids, go to mm-hmm. college if he wanted to. Like, I hope that you get reformed,
sir.
And I hope that you do come out on the other side of this. And I hope that you stay away from your racist, crap, deadbeat of a what you call father.
Mm-hmm. And if you are given the second chance, like at least have some remorse for what you did. Because it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like you got any at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So this is where the case ends. But I do have to take you back to show how child services severely dropped the ball in this case. Because I fully believe that Logan's case could have 100% been prevented if things were done differently. So there was a child practice review into the death of Logan. According to the Deputy Minister for Social Services, Julie Morgan, the purpose of the child practice review was not that of an investigation, but to consider their services and help them learn what they can do to improve what they can to protect children. So I'm going to go over the things that I found. First things first, I told you back in part one that Craig was put into like the foster care system because his mm-hmm. mother assaulted him.
Yeah.
But she also had an undisclosed mental disorder. But what I didn't tell you was that in March of 2021, Logan and his half-sister, which I didn't even know I had a half-sister until this part of my research, were placed in the Child Protective Register under the categories of physical and emotional abuse. So wow. For those who don't know, the Child Protective Register is a confidential list of all children in the local area who has been identified as being at risk of significant harm. Okay. So not only were they placed on that register for physical and emotional abuse, they were also placed on the Child Protective Register due to concerns of John's criminal history, his alleged coercive behavior towards Ang Harrod and Craig's mother, and poor mental health.
Wow.
And you know what's also crazy? Upon my research, apparently at one point in their relationship, John, Ang Harrod, and Craig's mother were in like a polyamorous relationship.
And that's like where they all just dated each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So apparently he was being abusive towards Ang Harrod and Craig's mother at some point.
Wow.
Which is what landed them on the list as well. But they were also on there for physical and emotional abuse. And also, where is this half-sister?
Where is the half-sister?
Like, where is she? That was the only mention of
the half-sister. Is it the half-sister from Ang Harrod?
I have no idea. That was the only information I could find. Like, it was just like a little bloop, half-sister. And I was like, excuse me?
I think that it's just crazy that there's a half-sister that we don't even know about. And, mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
Isn't that wild?
Also, you know.
Yeah.
There was a perfectly stable home that they could have sent him to.
Yeah.
His father. Correct? Because there was no, like, there was no reports of anything with his, like, biological father.
You're correct.
So why was that not the first option? Why are we still putting him back into this home of a racist, of an abusive person, of someone who is known to have violent tendencies and crimes and has a record and has a criminal history and all of these things?
Girl, that's what I wanted to know.
Because, I mean, I'd have something to say. If it were me, I'd have a lawsuit.
100%.
Because, like, you could have brought my child to me at any point in time and I would have opened my arms in my home. And the only reason I'm not seeing my child is because his mom is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and won't let me.
Yeah, I'll get into that later on, girl.
Okay.
I'm glad your brain is going there. So after being on the Child Protective Register, practitioners would do virtual and face-to-face visits over the next 2 months at Logan's home. Now, if we pay closer attention to the date, the virtual visits were happening due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
However, according to one source, the review found an absence of a clear understanding of Logan's lived experience within his family unit, evidenced in recordings and reports to help professionals understand how he felt about his daily life. So, like, even though they were supposed to do all of these things, like, oh, I'm supposed to go and visit with you X amount of times, I'm going to do these virtual visits, they really had no understanding of what his experience was living in that household.
Do you think it's because of the COVID stuff?
Like, absolutely.
They couldn't actually go and investigate the way that they would have? Because when you enter somebody's home at the height of COVID, nobody knew what was going on. 100%. I'm not going to go into this person's home. I don't know you. We're on lockdown, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Wow.
100%. 100%. In May, the same time that Ang Harrod and John applied to take Craig into their care, Logan and his half-sister were removed from the Child Protective Register since it was unanimously agreed that they were no longer at risk of significant harm. However, this was after Ang Harrod did not enroll in a domestic abuse survivors program, which she pledged to do, and John not enrolling in a perpetrators program because he didn't feel he committed domestic abuse. Because he didn't think he did that.
I didn't know you got to decide. Excuse me, sir. I did not commit that murder. I think I will not go to jail. Thank you very much.
What are you even saying?
Also, wait. What class did she have to enroll in?
A domestic abuse survivors program. So I think that there wasn't many details on how, like, specifics of how they ended up on the register. But from what I read, I think there were allegations that he was abusing both Ang Harrod and Craig's mother. John was.
Yeah, but okay. The thing is like, if you got put on that list for a reason, do you think that the reasons that you got put on the list, these kids, right? These kids got put on a list for X reasons.
Yes.
Now, just a few months later, you truly believe these X reasons are no longer happening? You think people can just change that quickly overnight?
And that's what I'm saying. And I get that there was a frenzy with COVID-19 and everybody was just trying to figure out their bearings. But when it comes to being in charge of like the endangerment of a child, this is something that we mm-hmm. cannot drop the ball for, regardless of the situation.
I agree. 100%.
Point blank period.
And also people just, you know, you want to believe that people change. And some people do, but majority of people don't.
I know that's right. Tell him again for the ones in the back.
And like, John Cole is just a really bad guy.
Really bad guy. Really bad guy. He was not a good person. Sure wasn't.
Ugh.
Mm-mm. Next up, we've got COVID. So when John and Craig came into Aang, Herod, and Logan's life, the COVID-19 pandemic was just beginning. So everything was basically beginning to shut down, which is why the home visits were being done virtually. Review chair Jan Pickles stated that Aang, Herod, and John used the COVID-19 lockdown to evade scrutiny from agencies.
100%.
Mm-hmm. So like things that you would typically see and be alerted of, like kids missing school and or there like being a delay in seeking medical help after an injury, were not as easily identified due to the pandemic and everybody mm-hmm. being on lockdown. So the remote practices that they now had in place, she stated, undoubtedly had an impact on the robustness of the assessments. So things weren't being done as critical as they would do mm-hmm. in person with the remote option, which as a teacher, I can completely understand mm-hmm. because like things became so lax in education.
They when did.
The,
oh,
like,
yeah.
So like the expectations that, you know, my admin wanted me to give to my students was just unheard of because, you know, essentially you can't expect for your students to do the same level of work on the computer as in front of you inside of the classroom, which I get that, but maybe not the number of assignments, but the ones that you turn in have to be to the same expectation mm-hmm. of what kids sitting in a classroom would be.
We couldn't make kids log on. And like, you know, and COVID was so new, it's like, do they have to log on? What's yep. going on? You know what I mean? Like, then you had the Wi-Fi issue and mm-hmm. you not every home has Wi-Fi mm-hmm. and parents that were still considered essential workers, they were going to work and their kids were at home by their... It was a time that no one knew what was going on. But I get it because, you know, virtually, they can't see that Logan has a bruise on his wrist. Logan yep. can keep his hands down. Mm-hmm. They can't see that there's no food in the home or that Logan's lost weight or that, you know, just different things like that. Because you're in front of one screen mm-hmm. that you've picked in your home that's safe, that doesn't give away anything in the background. You know, you're dressed, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when it comes to teaching, like, at the end of the day, our jobs are to make sure that all of our students are adequately prepared mm-hmm. for the next grade. And I am unable to do that if I'm lowering my standards. You know what I mean?
Oh, so 100%.
I had a couple kids that like I went to admin and I was like, this kid is blatantly being disrespectful. They're not doing their work. They are giving me crap for every little assignment I'm giving them. They like something needs to be done because they're not ready for sixth grade. And they were like, well, we can't hold anyone back. And I was just like, okay, how is this okay?
Yeah, you couldn't hold anybody back. And that's why right now, you know, we still have, it's going to take about 2 more years to fix this learning gap. It really is.
I know that.
There's just a huge learning gap.
Yep. And the same goes for the Child Protective Register.
Yep.
And the same goes for the Child Protective Register professionals handling Logan's case. Despite everything, like I stated earlier, no matter the situation, pandemic, no pandemic, whatever is going on, their job was to keep that little boy safe. And mm-hmm. they failed to do that. Mm-hmm. Point blank period.
Yeah.
Also, social services had an unscheduled visit the day prior to Logan's death, but were denied entry because Logan was tested positive for COVID-19 on July 20th.
Convenient. Can I see the test, please?
Here's the thing. All sources confirmed that he did actually have COVID.
Oh.
They did. But still. Like.
The timing.
Because even if so, this was 21? The pandemic, we know, was back in 2000. Like, for the whole year, you know what I mean? So going into 2021, like, we had an idea. Like, okay, we have to do X amount of things mm-hmm. to prevent us from getting COVID.
We had from March to May, or you from March to June, to be virtual, right? And then we had that time to figure out what's working, what's not working. Mm-hmm. And then we had all summer to fine tune that and figure mm-hmm. out, okay, well, we're going to do this, this, and this to make sure that we're not going to have those same mistakes.
Yep. And it's just like they're moving as business as usual. Like if you don't get a hazmat suit and get in that place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, he got COVID. I'm gonna turn around. Like there had to be some way to ensure that you did your job despite him having COVID or not.
Because COVID didn't stop abuse.
If anything, it increased it. Honestly, you're trapped in your house, you know, not able to go anywhere, possibly with your abuser.
Right.
All of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, you should be on more, like granted, you should always be on high alert, but now?
Yeah, that's true. Like,
that's crazy. And the thing is I read, I can't remember the exact source that I pulled it from, but he had COVID. So that week prior, he was literally in isolation by himself. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like they kept him in his room.
Oh, I hate that.
And granted, he was a little baby boy.
And they were probably so ugly to him.
Mm-hmm. Like when I just recently had COVID back in July, was it I had it?
Yeah.
Like I stayed in my room and the children had free range. And I like went out when it was necessary for me to like interact with them. But at the same time, they're at that age that they can handle that. You know what I mean? They mm-hmm. knew like, mommy, you're sick. Mommy, da da da. He is not. No. Mm-hmm. You're not just going to keep this little boy in his room.
And you're his mother. You're his caretaker.
At the end of the day, like the girls are like, mommy, I want to cuddle with you. And as much as I wanted to get them in bed, I'm like, girl, I don't want to get you sick. Like I will never forgive myself if
but
you
get this.
But
let's vice versa that. Like if the girls had COVID and you didn't,
oh, 100%.
You would never deny them cuddles. You would take one for the team and be like, well, I mean, y'all are my children. I'm going to do what I have to do.
Oh, 100%. The first time I got COVID was from them.
Yeah.
first time I got it, it was from them being all up on me. I think the next day I tested positive myself, I was like, dang, but that's what we do for our kids. You know what I mean?
She should have done better.
100%. And she did not at all.
She wanted the worst. Trailer trash fairy tale.
Yes. In August of 2020, Ang Harrod took Logan to the hospital with a dislocated shoulder that she stated he received from falling down the stairs.
Of course he did.
It's important to note that allegedly, Craig is the one who pushed Logan down the stairs.
Wow.
Doctors actually found that he had a broken arm and bruising to his cheek. The doctor made a referral to Bridgend's Child Services. Kudos to them. Somebody's doing their job. According to one source, Ang Harrod and John told the police that Logan had fallen down the stairs, and police accepted their story. It would be concluded later that the threshold for a child protection inquiry hadn't been met. However, after another examination of Logan, a pediatrician found more injuries on Logan, but didn't share their findings with Child Services because they accepted Ang Harrod's explanation as to how he got these injuries. What in the world?
Why are we trusting this woman? Oh, okay. You say that? Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Like,
in what world is that okay?
And also, did anyone talk to Logan?
Exactly.
Anyone? Did anyone ask him what was going on?
Did anyone pull him away from his abusers and say, hey, you're in a safe spot now?
Like, what really happened? Like, tell me how you got this. Did you fall down the stairs? No. So what happened? No one spoke to him.
No, that's not okay. Not okay at all. Mm-mm.
Jan Pickles stated the following, had further information from health been shared, it most likely, though, we cannot say for sure, in hindsight, would have triggered a child protective assessment in line with joint agreed guidelines as the nature of those injuries clearly met the threshold. So the issue here is now that parties aren't communicating with one another.
Correct.
Like, so you found this, but you're like, I'm not going to tell them because, you know, Ang Harrod's story seemed legit, even though I don't know.
Even though I get weird vibes from her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And circling back to what you said, Brooke, the most bizarre failure to me in this whole entire case is that Logan's father, Benjamin, was never notified Logan was put on the child protective register. So just to quickly recap, that the last time Benjamin saw Logan was in 2019, and he was only able to speak to Logan on the phone while he was in the care of Aang Harrod's mother, which was on the weekends. But that ended, if we remember, because Aang Harrod stopped having Logan visit her mother.
Which I feel had something to do with John Cole.
Oh, 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, she was probably like, nah, he's not good for you. And she was like, you know what? You're not going to see your grandchild.
Yep. Yep.
Point blank period.
But I mean, and this is not the dad's fault, but I just wonder, like, I do wonder from his perspective how much fight he put in. Because that would be interesting to compare child services to his perspective. What was he doing? You know, was he getting ready to take Inghera to court? You know?
I mean, I didn't see much about that. But however, he did state following... However, he did later state the following. If I would have had any inkling whatsoever that Logan was known, I would have gotten him. I would have gone with a police escort or worked with social services, and I would have said, okay, I'm getting my son's things and I'm taking him away from this obviously hostile environment. If he is in danger, let's make him safe. But for the fact that I didn't know, which is one of the biggest questions that was going to be asked in the child protection review, is going to be why I wasn't contacted. You would have thought, as his biological father, if he was on the register, then I should have known. Mm-hmm. Which, 1,000%.
I agree. I wonder, was Inghera like playing it off? I mean, clearly the kid is mixed, but, you know, was she playing it off that John Cole was his guardian, like legal guardian? You know, I mean,
even in the 999 call, she was like, well, it's just me. And I think she referred to him as his father.
She said dad, but then she said, it's my partner. And then she said stepdad. She said all three.
Yeah, she was just like, cool, like just throwing all the terms out there. She didn't know which one to pick from.
Well, I think they dropped the ball in not telling the biological father.
Oh, 1,000%.
You know, I mean, or just if you're going to take, he had two good homes that would have loved him and opened him, and this never would have happened. His grandmother, who wanted him,
and
his
loved
dad,
him to pieces.
Who wanted him, you know, like, but you left him in the one place where he wasn't wanted.
Yep.
Wow.
And also never got a chance to ask him, like, what things were going on in the home. Because if that would have happened, then, you know.
Exactly.
We wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
Despite all of this, the review found that there may have been systemic issues rather than isolated instances of individual error or poor practice regarding the handling of Logan's case. According to one source, his voice had not been heard, and there was no knowledge of the reality of his lived experience, which, again, that should have been the first thing y'all asked, regardless of anything. Y'all left it up to his mother. Y'all didn't ask this little boy anything. And kids are very truthful. Okay.
They'll spill it. They'll spill
kids
all the
beans. Kids
are
very truthful.
Yep.
Like, all you had to do was ask him, and he probably would spill the tea. Okay. The only good thing to come out of this case is that Benjamin is campaigning for Logan's Law in honor of his son. According to the change.org petition for Logan's Law, it states the following. Logan's Law is for a child known to social services and being monitored to have their other biological parent or next of kin notified of the complaints being made against their child when serious and being looked into.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he wasn't contacted, regardless of his involvement or not, or regardless of the situation, like, he needed to know that his son was on that list.
100%. He deserved to know.
Absolutely. Because if he knew that, he would not knowingly keep him in that situation.
Yeah. 100%. No, he wouldn't have. I firmly believe that he would have gone over there and gotten his son.
100%. Inghera was just making things difficult for him to see him. And I felt like, I feel like, not that he was just defeated, but he was just like, you know, he had no concerns. You know, you feel me? Like, nothing was brought to his attention like, oh, maybe I should go and get him. So if that happened, 100%, he would have gone and get him. 100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We've included the link to the petition if you'd like to sign it. I think we can all agree that if Benjamin was contacted about his son's well-being, that we wouldn't be here today discussing his case. Point blank and period.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
And that is the end to our 3-part episode on the Logan Mwangi case.
I would like to hear how Craig Mulligan is doing in.
Couldn't find nothing. I tried, girl.
Yeah.
I tried.
I would also like to know if he's having contact with John Cole.
Ooh, couldn't find that either.
That would be interesting to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also like to know exactly what happened that night.
You know, because it's all pretty like he said, she said, yeah, like they're making assumptions, but no one's ever came out and said, look, this is what happened and this is what was done. Even though Ang Harrod says that they were beaten up on him.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's admitting to like the actual death. Apparently, exactly. John was like, oh, I found him there. And Ang Harrod was like, oh, he was hitting him. I don't. Yeah. We don't really know.
That's what I want to know. It's like, what actually happened? Or at the end of the day, is John Cole and Ang Harrod covering up for something that Craig did?
That's 100%. You
know, it's just, I don't know.
That's 100% a logical thing.
Hmm.
But also at this point, like, I get it, but like, now all three of y'all in jail.
Exactly.
For life with minimums, you know, but
yeah,
craziness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you could bring us our first three-parter, not even a two-parter, three-parter.
I mean, you did the two, I did the three. Honestly, I don't have to do another one for a while. That took a lot out of me.
It's a lot.
Like, I'm glad I don't have to, you know, research this any further because it was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. I'm glad I could bring it to you, but it was a lot.
The guy that edits our podcast, he's been doing it for a little bit, but he was like, I don't know how y'all sleep at night. He's like, I just do not know how y'all do it.
Like a baby.
And I literally responded. I said, like a baby.
Like a baby.
I don't know if that makes me a crazy person or not.
You know how many of us are listening to this probably curled up in their bed about to go off to Snoozeville. Like, come on now.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not one of those people who can like watch like scary, like true crime stuff before I go to bed. No, stuff I can't do. The people who do that, like you are
different
better
level
than me because I cannot. Mm-mm. It will infiltrate my dreams.
There are some cases that I think about more than others, but like,
oh, 100%.
I still find all of this fascinating, like the psychological stuff.
Yeah.
The flaws in the system, the, you know, what could have, shoulda, woulda.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for that.
Well, let's get y'all out of here because I got work in the morning.
Me too.
That's crazy. First day of school. It's going to be great. And we're so excited.
Yes,
you are. But as always, the bell don't dismiss you.
Oh, we do.
So we'll see you the next time we see you.
Yes, we will.
All right. Bye.
Bye.